The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Happy Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Join the conversation at 770-563-3770-KMED. A lot of people, I guess, are already hitting the road and doing their Memorial Day vacationing early and getting out and going where they're going. I guess it's the airlines are full and everything's busy. Seems pretty quiet here in Southwest Oregon for right now. But, hey, if you want to make some noise, 770-5633. My email is bill@billmyersshow.com. And just kind of collapsed over the finish line yesterday. Like I said, didn't have a lot of sleep on election night because there was just so much drama. You know, we had been working so hard. All of us have been working so hard and talking about these issues. And I had mentioned this on a Facebook posting last night. And a lot of people were responding positively to that, I was just thanking everybody that was involved in the fight and getting out the vote and evangelizing about the various topics and the candidates and issues that needed a lot of love given to it, because you weren't going to get the kind of love that needed to be given and attention given to some of these important issues here in Southwest Oregon. You weren't going to get it out of the televisions and newspapers because they tended to be hostile to a lot of the worldview here that we talk about on my show. And we can just take comfort and savor a victory, I think, in savor the victories, really, with what happened the other day. And I know that we still have some more votes to count, but chances are pretty much the way things are set right now are the way they're going to be by the time the voting deadline, the window finally closes next Tuesday. All right. But I think about the accomplishments that the attacks on our counties were just deep sixed out there. And these were serious attacks that were coming in here. This hope to slice and dice Jackson and Josephine County up into eventually Jackson. They wanted to do districts. They wanted to do that. The Democrats, the liberals, the whatever you want to call it. Okay, the Marxists that were trying to push these change schemes. That was ultimately their goal. And in Josephine County, they were going after it, the whole ball of wax, including the districts. And it really went down hard there, 2-1. Against. And so we're really fortunate. We were really fortunate that people were able to see through the deception. A lot of people got into the voters pamphlet and put their comments and their issues in there. And I have to tell you, if you looked at the voters pamphlet this time around, the no arguments on these charter changes, there were tons of them. There were tons of them. And I really don't think that the Stacey Abram campaign person, I forget her name, who's running the Jackson or the Josephine County Democrats, as an example, I don't think that they were expecting the conservatives and people just of common sense to actually wake up and take a look at what was being proposed. I know that the Josephine County Democrats person was worked on Stacey Abrams' campaign, you know, another carpetbagger from out of town. Remember, I've been telling you that the Democrats have looked at Southwest Oregon as being ripe for the pickings and in need of being taken over, because we're still kind of a burr under the saddle of the uniparty of the state legislature. And we won. We ended up beating back some of that, beating back all of those charter changes. And we also ended up getting some conservative politicians that are going to be going into office, hopefully here, that are not necessarily owned lock, stock, and barrel by the lobbies. Put a little trademark, little trademark or registered trademark bubble next to it. The lobbies. And yeah, I know you have to raise money. You have to raise money to be able to campaign effectively. But a lot of the candidates right now in the state legislature who are owned by the lobbies right now, I honestly think that there's this approach in which they're thinking, okay, we really can't beat the Democrats in the state legislature. So, all right, how can we get a lot of money? Maybe we can get my husband to help me in my, I'm thinking like the Iversons, you know, the Iversons racket, you know, up there trying to appoint themselves the kingmakers of what's going to be going on in Republican politics. And, you know, we'll take a cut out of all the campaigns. We'll legally launder the money back and forth between it and pick our campaigns. And we're going to pick our candidates. We're going to shove them down into Jackson and Josephine County. And you're going to take it good and hard. And you're going to vote for them. And you're just going to shut up because there's an R next to their name. I think it's essentially where things have been going for the last few years. And that got set back on its heels. That got set back on its heels when, you know, when candidate Christine Goodwin just, and I mean, I'm not even convinced that she was the one riding that, or actually driving that bus. I honestly think it's one of those things where we had people higher up the Republican Party food chain that were in charge of this. And I think it's been this idea of, well, you know, we're going to talk about Republican values, but we're going to just go in there to lose gracefully, and we're going to get in on the grift, and we'll fundraise, and we'll money launder between one another, and we'll set up our little campaign businesses and do that. And we rejected that. We rejected that in Southwest Oregon, and so I'm actually really proud of us. Now, does that mean that the people who were rejected are going to lick their wounds and just go away? And no. The fight will be continuing. And, you know, you have to think about, well, let's even take the Democrats with Noah Robinson. They're probably really irritated that the charter changes went down. They thought they were just going to waltz in here and, hey, we're just going to put out more democracy for the boomer rubes and they'll fall for it. Right? That's kind of a thing. Yeah, those boomer rubes and those Generation X rubes and those, yeah, we're just going to put it out there. We're just going to do what we did with Stacey's campaign over there. We'll just do it all. Do it all. They'll be back. And I can't help but think that maybe there's going to be a ton of money being poured into that Noah Robinson fight on the Democratic side. You never can tell. I mean, you can't sleep. You can't sleep at this point in time. So we savor the victories, but get set for a tough battle here. Getting engaged with people and like-minded folks. And by the way, writing checks when necessary. I know that in Klamath County, the news is a little bit better because Diane Linthicum is essentially senator-elect. There's no Democrat or anybody running against her at this point. Maybe that changes. Maybe there's some way that somebody else can do something. I don't know at this point in time. So that one was a save. Senator Linthicum, of course, is running for Secretary of State. That's going to be a pretty high lift against Charlie Conrad. We must be honest with ourselves about this. Any Republican on statewide is going to be a tough one. Going to be a tough one. It's been very difficult. Dennis Richardson, of course, was a Republican from Central Point. God rest his soul. He's a great guy. He was a very good Secretary of State, wanting to be fair and honest and keeping things on the up and up, unlike everybody else that from the Democratic Party that's been in there for quite some time now. But it is a different campaign, I think, for Dennis Linthicum than it was for Dennis Richardson. Dennis Richardson was pretty much, I don't want to say he was a moderate Republican, but he wasn't what I would call a firebrand conservative. So a little bit more than a moderate. And I think that was an easier sell, maybe in Oregon, even back then. And Senator Dennis Linthicum, of course, is no apologies, no holds barred, you know, on conservatism. That's good. So I just don't know how this will work statewide. So we're going to have a lot of work, and he's going to have a lot of work. He's going to be have to reaching out. And he's focusing on the election integrity. And one would hope that even Democrats in Multnomah County would actually want something fair and would want a fair treatment of ballot measures and not everybody putting a thumb on the scale, which is what's been happening with Democrats in charge. So we got a lot of work to do here. But savor the victory. And that was pretty good. Pretty good stuff. And some other good news in that election that we really didn't get a chance to talk much about there is that, of course, the Soros prosecutor, Mike Schmidt, ended up getting bounced out. And so he'll be replaced by a more tough-on-crime guy, Vasquez, the one who replaced Mike Schmidt for brains, as they were calling him, in Portland. He's been a lifetime or a career prosecutor up in Portland. Now, I can't say that he's going to be like a super tough on crime guy because I don't know, is there any super tough on crime guy or go up up in Portland in the first place in Multnomah County? But it's certainly going to be an improvement, an improvement. Now, the big question will be, will Schmidt resign and let Vasquez get in there right away? We don't know. Another piece of good election news that we didn't talk much about, I just mentioned it briefly with Kevin Starrett, are some of the Republicans that got bounced out. and this was a good one, one that really needed to go, was State Rep Charlie Conrad. And that he was, his district's from Dexter, I guess. He's up north. And he was a first-term Republican. And you want to talk about the classic rhino. He was supporting abortion, access on demand, gender-affirming care, you know, against the guns and against everything else. And he ended up getting bounced out. Darren Harbick ended up taking that seat. 82% of the vote to Conrad's 18%. So that's actually good news. That's it's great to see that kind of Republican get trounced because, yeah, I know we can have some disagreements a little bit on the margins and things like that. But, yeah, if you're out there as a Republican saying, yeah, go ahead, abortion up to and after birth or whatever it is, cut the genitals off of the kids in school. Let's make sure and get the hormone therapy into everybody who say who every guy who claims that I'm pretty in government school. Yeah, he needed to go. And so that's one burr under the conservative saddle, which is going to be out. Now, the other burr that was replaced, though, is with Christine Drazen. Christine Drazen taking over from James Heap. James Heap, not exactly smooth, the smoothest politician, but he actually had a lot of principle, a lot of integrity. And, you know, that's something we should be talking more about when it comes to voter integrity or ballot integrity. You know, we've been talking about election integrity. This is even something that that Linthicum has been talking about as he gets ready to run for Secretary of State. We keep talking about election integrity as far as the counts and the ballot harvesting and voter ID and this and that and the other. But something that would be good to be focusing on, and I think we did this election cycle, was focusing on candidate integrity. It's one thing to talk about election integrity and making sure the vote and the count is good and fair and honest, but I think where we're really starting to shine now is that Republicans here in Southwest Oregon are looking for candidate integrity. Do you say what you believe in and mean what you say, and will you do it this way? Will you not just go along to get along just because of peer pressure? And so candidate integrity is a big thing. Honestly, a good thing, too. And I think we saw a lot of candidate integrity win this time around. So savor that victory, okay? But we've got a lot of work to do. 23 minutes after 6. Coming up, we're going to have a good conversation here with Andrew Riddow. Andrew Riddow is a non-woke high-tech guy, has on-web services like an Amazon-type service company. But they're not out there censoring everybody and canceling you for having the wrong Facebook post or the wrong tweet, you know, on X. You know, they don't do that sort of thing. And what we're going to be talking about is this this new Google AI Gemini. And I keep getting hit up every time I'm using my Android phone. Do you want to start using this? Do you want to start using this? And what he's concerned about is that, this was the artificial intelligence that was out there. You know, you would say, show me a picture of the founding fathers, and it would make a picture of everybody who's black. Everybody's black, and they're a founding father, right? You know, that kind of thing. It's like, wait a minute. So it was incredibly super woke. They took it off, and then they reworked it, and now they've re-released it. And now he's concerned, though, that this is still about manipulating the false presidential election. We'll talk with him more about that and his concerns. He's been looking all in this. He was also part of the Trump team 2016 to 2020. We'll tell you more about that. Give you about 10 minutes. We'll have that conversation on the way here. Also going to be talking with Mark Lippelman. He was the head attorney with Alliance Defending Freedom that was doing oral arguments in the Medford court the other day about Youth 715 Ministries. Youth 715 is suing the federal government because of all this. Essentially, they can't get grant stream funding because they're a religious ministry organization, and they're helping the kids and doing everything else. But if you're going to work for them, they expect you to be of the Christian faith, to actually have and share their faith. And then the state and the feds, no, we can't do this because discrimination. I guess they're trying to say you have to have Satanists working for you. You know, you got the Satanists, someone from the Church of Satan there. Yeah, come on in. Talk to the kids. We'd love to have you at our ministry. No. No, we're not going to do this. So they're battling over taxpayer funds. We'll talk about that around 7:30 or so. Noah Robinson taking a victory lap. He's going to be dropping by around 8 o'clock. GOP Senate candidate for Senate District 2. And Captain William E. Simpson talking about the dangers of prescribed burning. And we have the professional arsonists that are all in play even right now. And I'm even looking on the Capitol Chronicle. They sent me, Native Americans, burning, and we're honoring the Native American. Yeah, in other words, it's almost like they're selling smoke in the valley right now by doing dances with wolves, fire, prescribed burn, that kind of thing. Well, all you have to do is say Native American, and we're all supposed to go, so we should take the smoke. We should take the smoke right now. But Bill was talking to me, and we're going to talk more about this around 8:30, that even a little bit of prescribed burn, even that little bit of smoke that they're talking about, is pretty bad for our health. And we know that the wildfire smoke in the summertime that we've been getting from out of town has been really bad, no doubt about that. But even the prescribed burning, even the light smoke here is a problem. He says, yeah, we'll talk more about that. Maybe we need to be changing some policies around and not listening to Dances with Wolves of professional arsonists, otherwise known as the collaboratives, right? This is the Bill Myers Show. If you're going on a spring road trip, click on the travel report on KMED.com. We have changing road conditions, road cams, and gas prices throughout the region. Be prepared with the travel report on KMED.com. Sponsored by Lithia Body and Paint on Bullock Road in Medford.
The following preview has been rated immature for all audiences except metal roof enthusiasts and small children. In the not-too-distant sun-baked future, in a world where leafy debris and pine needles collect on unsuspecting homeowners' roofs, where just one seemingly harmless airborne ember could cause a catastrophic fire, two unassuming technicians...
He's talking about us!
...embark on an epic journey to fabricate and install fire-resistant metal roofs on Southern Oregon buildings. Heroes will rise. Fire hazards will fall.
This is awesome!
This spring, call the Metal Roofing Division at Fontana Roofing and witness the sheer...
So what do you think?
So it's like we're superhero firefighters except without the supernatural powers, form-fitting costumes, and inherent danger?
Exactly.
Can we drive big, shiny red trucks?
Maybe in the sequel.
For an epic, fire-resistant roof, call Fontana Roofing's Metal Roof Division. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
Hi, I'm Cassie from Clouser Drilling, and I'm on KMED.
6:28 and change. Now, Dave, you've been holding back here. You weren't able to make it in yesterday, but since it is Conspiracy Theory Thursday, you're claiming that the conspiracy is that we're going back to horse and buggy and oxen. You think that's where they want to take us at some point? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm thinking that... that they're going to close down all the airports, outlaw flying. When they get rid of gas and diesel, you'll have to take your car and hook up a horse or an oxen to drag you around, or you'll need to start building your own wagons.
Interesting you brought that up. Did you ever read James Kunstler? James Kunstler, K-U-N-S-T-L-E-R. Do you remember him?
No, I haven't.
He does a wonderful blog. I can't actually pronounce the actual name for it, but it is I'll mimic it. Cluster F blog is what he writes out there on Kunstler.com. And he wrote a book called The Long Emergency a few years ago. And he's talking about the ultimate vanquishing, or that the cheap fossil fuel is going to be gone. They're going to make it expensive. They're going to destroy us, et cetera, et cetera. He writes a lot about that right now. But it just reminds me, on the cover of his blog, he always had a picture of like some Soviet era guy with the back part of an old pickup truck and being towed by oxen somewhere over in the former Soviet Union. So that was kind of, you're figuring that's the future that they're planning for the United States right now.
Huh? And if they're going to do that, they should either make congressmen and senators ride horses and oxen back, or maybe they should do...
hey, wouldn't that be something to see Merkley and Wyden? Having to, go on oxen. But you know what would end up happening? What would end up happening is that they would be deemed carbon privileged, okay? carbon privileged, they would still get to ride the planes. And that now what little fossil fuel was left would be used then so that Merkley and Wyden could get to, well, you know, Wyden, of course, would be flying in from New York. That's where he'd be going.
Well, no, actually, they sold, Wyden and his family sold their New York. They're living in Connecticut now.
Oh, okay. So we have a Connecticut senator now instead of New York. Thank you for the correction there. But yeah, they'll still have their carbon privilege. But ultimately, you know what? If in my perfect world, we would not send them to Washington, D.C. at all. They would stay in their district. They'd have to live in their district. And these days, just make Congress a big Zoom call. That's what I would do. All right? Thanks for the call, Dave. I like that conspiracy. Yeah, we're all in our oxen, and Wyden and Merkley still flying a plane? Don't think so.
The Artisan Bakery Cafe is your go-to for all things delicious, specializing in European-style pastries, offering the largest selection of fresh-baked pastries in the Rogue Valley, croissants, danishes, cream cheese pockets, bear claws, scones, turnovers, Napoleons, buttercream cones, beignets, cinnamon rolls, coffee cake muffins, and more. So many fresh-baked goodies just waiting for you. Tuesday through Friday, 7 to 3, and Saturday, 8 to 3. Stop by 1325 Center Drive or visit artisanbakerymedford.com. Also, order on DoorDash.
Looking for a safe place to store your RV, trailer, or boat? Hardcastles offers a secure storage lot located conveniently on-site with a keypad entry. With spots filling up quickly, stop by today to reserve yours. While you're there, check out the fully stocked line of enclosed, dump, flatbed, and utility trailers. Hardcastles' friendly and experienced staff are always available to help you find what you need. Open weekdays 8:30 to 5, Saturdays 9 to 3. Hardcastles, where the customer is king.
News sponsored by Caveman Heating and Air. It's the climate, and we control it. Call Caveman Heating and Air at 541-476-0009 or cavemanheating.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. His New York trial standing in recess until next week. Former President Trump hits the campaign trail later today. He'll hold a rally in New York City, specifically in a park in the Bronx. A former Trump challenger in the race for the GOP presidential nomination is hopping aboard the Trump train. Nikki Haley says President Biden has been a catastrophe on numerous crucial policy issues. She says she'll be voting for Mr. Trump. China once again flexing its military muscle, holding exercises, military drills off the coast of Taiwan. A stage collapse during a political rally last evening near Monterrey, Mexico, has left 9 people dead. More than 60 others were injured. And cleanup is getting underway in parts of Iowa hit by deadly tornadoes this week. The vicious weather blamed for at least 5 deaths. The opening bell sounding on Wall Street, stocks starting off the day higher. This is SRN News.
Hi, this is Paul at Valerie Nursery. Say goodbye spring, hello summer. Don't miss our Memorial Weekend Greenhouse Open House. All pottery, tropical house plants, and bonsai are 30% off. How are your patio planters looking? We can help make them look exceptional. For color and choice you won't see anywhere else and current promotions, go to ValerieNursery.com. Google Map Valerie Nursery and find us closer than you think.
Hi, Jason with Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros with more spring savings. Right now, purchase a set of 4 qualifying Yokohama tires through June 15th and get up to a $100 rebate. Get an additional $50 when you purchase with your Tire Pros credit card. There's 14 different tires to choose from, including Geolander AT for your truck or SUV and the Avid Ascend LX for your passenger car. So stop by or call for details to save right now on quality Yokohama tires exclusively at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros.
Memorial Day deals are here at Lowe's. Right now, save big on Scott's Naturescapes mulch. Get 5 bags for just $10. And there's more. Get up to 40% off. Plus, save an extra $50 on every $500 you spend on select major appliances. These deals are selling fast, so start shopping now. Lowe's knows summer savings. Valid through 529. Mulch excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Appliance savings vary based on purchase. See Lowe's.com for details. Selection varies by location. While supplies last.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD, and this is the Bill Myers Show.
Andrew Riddell is CEO of Liberation Technology Services. It's a company at the forefront of the private cloud hosting industry. Cybersecurity solutions, also the pioneer of liquid-cooled edge data centers there too. It's a big mouthful there, but liberationtech.com, liberationtech.com. And Riddell, executive office of the, he was in the executive office of the president of the United States, key figure within the Trump administration there. Strategic insight and operational excellence, supporting over 300 presidential trips. So you were pretty much implanted into MAGA, weren't you here, Andrew? Welcome.
We were right in the middle of America First and projecting American greatness and striving to fight for the American people every single day. But yeah, I was in the weeds of it all four. You know, I think there was less than 30 of us that actually did all 4 years with the President Trump White House.
Yeah, there was definitely a lot of churn in that administration, from what I recall. Yeah, and if you made it to the end, that would stand you in good stead here, really. Wanted to talk about artificial intelligence, and before we do that, though, Liberation Tech, and last time I talked with you, you had just been launching this, and we're talking about it being a non-woke, a non-censoring platform. Is that kind of where things are going here right now? Because so many people of a right of center thing, you say the wrong thing on social media, and Amazon cancels your account or your web services and things like this, or your bank ends up canceling you. What is the depth of what you offer over on Liberation Tech?
So we offer alternatives to Amazon, Google Cloud, GoDaddy, MailChimp, Microsoft Teams, Google Workplace, Zoom. We've built out a suite of services for the personal use and the business use of folks that want to make a change in their lives, that want their technology companies to work with them and for them, instead of against them just because of ideological beliefs.
Okay. And does this also include financial services, or is that something that might be something in the future? Because the banking industry, of course, has been very big on canceling customers for having the wrong opinions.
We don't do financial services, but I would encourage you, to your listeners, to go over to Freedom Chamber. We're a founding member over there, and there are, you know, Old Glory Bank is another founding member, and there's also, you know, financial services, professional services that are offered and recommended through that platform.
Okay, very good. Just wanted to make sure people know about you, and I applaud you for doing this kind of service because it's certainly needed. Can't tell you how many people I've heard about in the right wing side of things that end up saying the wrong thing, and then Google says we're not going to work with you anymore, or Amazon says we will not work with you anymore, and that's pretty big because they are the biggest, you know, at this point in time.
So it's a complete shame because, you know, Amazon and Google and all these companies are using very broad, non-defined terms and conditions to cancel folks. Right? These individuals aren't breaking the law. You know, we've seen, you know, Harvard lawyers and doctors and the same from Stanford publish alternative ideas and data, and they get shut down, not because anything was illegal or it was, quote unquote, misinformation. It was because it was counter narrative. And that is really the problem that we're seeing in the technology space today, is that there's a censorship on alternative viewpoints. And so that is where it becomes critically concerning.
Yeah, especially alternative viewpoints that really aren't all that alternative. They've just gone out of political favor, like saying that, a female human is a woman, okay? You know, that kind of, you know, you
right.
Say that's considered very controversial in some places right now, which is just absurd, of course, on its face here. Let's talk a little bit about Google's artificial intelligence, which is named Gemini, all right? And when it came out a few months back, it was sort of a laughing stock there for a while. This is when, you know, you'd ask it about Vikings and the Vikings would come out black, right? Which, of course, that's an absurdity. Didn't happen. And they would misinterpret the American founding fathers. They would do all this kind of stuff. No white people, of course, were ever portrayed on that. So they shut it down. I guess they went back and they worked it, and it's been re-released. Is that what we're looking at right now at this point in time?
Yeah, not only has it been re-released, but last week Google announced that they had integrated it into every aspect of their ecosystem. So WhatsApp, Gmail, Google Workspace, you know, Google Search, YouTube, you know, all Alexa and Ring, you know, all of these platforms now have this type of integration into it. And I'll tell you, you don't just rebuild something in a matter of, you know, weeks or a couple of months. You know, these AI databases and programs take years to build out and train. So really what they did is slap some lipstick on a pig and threw it back out there hoping no one would actually notice.
I have not really delved deeply into using artificial intelligence at this point, Andrew, and I don't know if it's because I'm I guess one thing I'm concerned about feeding it me. Is that a misplaced concern out there when you're working with artificial intelligence and chatbots and things like that? Because it just seems to me that the whole idea of artificial intelligence, they suck you in on it under the convenience of it, but essentially you're training it with what you're doing. Am I right or wrong about that? I'm just curious.
Yeah, no, you're right. You know, and for your listeners, the AI that we see today, it's not the AI of Terminator, right? It's not making its own decisions. It is receiving input and learning from that input. And it's also really just a tool, right? So the application in which you're using AI really determines, like, is this something good or bad, right? You know, a couple of examples, you know, as you were saying, Gemini's AI or image generation, you know, they were essentially rewriting history by generating those types of images. Mm-hmm. We use a little bit of AI. Granted, it is by consent. Our users opt in to use it. And then, you know, it's all suggestive. So, you know, you can take it or leave it. But, you know, Liberation Campaign, which is our alternative to MailChimp, we use a little bit of AI to help individuals navigate around Gmail's AI, Google's AI, and it'll say, hey, you know, based on your subject or your content, we think that, you know, you may get flagged as spam. You know, consider changing these points to ensure that your message is being received in the inbox.
Oh, that's really interesting. Okay, so everything, all those emails get scanned, right? And so Google Mail will take a look at this and go, this is going to be spam. Your AI is out there trying to get past the Google AI, in essence.
Yeah, and okay. It's just giving you simple suggestions, right? You know, and it'll give you a score, and it'll help you improve your score.
Okay, what does it mean? Something like you replace the term in your email, bloodthirsty Marxists, with progressive? I mean, what? What do you do?
Well, it could use spam. It'll look for spammy words. It'll also say, hey, your email subject line is way too long. Consider shortening it. Or, you know, you're using a bunch of, you know, graduate level language. You know, the recommended language, unfortunately, is about an eighth grade reading level. So maybe consider swapping out some words to improve your deliverability, improve your open rates, and things like that.
All right. Is AI something to avoid at this point? Because every time I open my Android phone, I have a Samsung Android phone, and I hit the little button to try to bring up the voice activation when I'll try to say, all right, I want you to call the boss, you know, call my boss or whatever it is. And I bring this up. And every time now, it's asking if I want to expand my use and start using Gemini, right? Why does it want me to use Gemini rather than just the regular voice activation thing that I would use before? Why does Google want me to do this?
Because they're trying to learn and train and also collect data and better influence the results that you see. And that's where Gemini, in my personal opinion, really becomes a risky kind of proposition to everyone. Mm-hmm. Because Gemini, if you're using it for your search, you know, they're going to be able to really filter the information that you're seeing more so than what they've been able to do in the past, right? Now they're going to be able to suppress those alternative articles and resources that you may be looking for narratives that support their own.
So I do let's say, for example, I do a Gemini search on Google. If I were to do this, use a Gemini search saying how many January 6th prisoners are still in lockup, right? I end up being
you'll get CNN's number.
Okay. So okay, but I end up being tagged. The artificial intelligence knows that, oh, he's one of those, right? Would that be fair?
Yeah. And they're able to then take that and with the AI start also subliminally messaging us and pushing content towards us and really trying to change the direction of our thinking and of our actions. And that is where, you know, this kind of social engineering starts to come in. Because, you know, there's over 2 billion people that visit the Google homepage every single day, right? Mm-hmm. You know, there are studies out there that are saying that this election, Google might have the ability to sway this election anywhere from 5.5 million to almost 26 million votes. And so how are they doing that? Well, they're making sure if you're a Democrat, you know that where your voting precinct is, you know, they'll know if you have not returned your ballot. If you're a Republican, they may make it a lot harder to find that information. They'll also be able to more effectively suppress news articles, you know, just like the New York Post Hunter Biden laptop story. They'll be able to suppress those types of articles in a much more efficient way than even back in 2020.
Mm-hmm. And you are suggesting then to run, not walk away, though, from the Google services, from the whole Google suite, right? That's what you're suggesting?
You know, I believe that there is ethical AI practices, right? You know, pushing a clearly flawed AI model onto individuals without giving them the ability to consent and or opt out, you know, I think is ethically wrong. You know, we believe that, you know, individuals should have the ability to utilize these tools if they so choose. And so that is where, you know, I think people can really start to make an impact, because if they stop using those services, Google is going to lose money and then will ultimately have to reconsider some of the actions and the directions that they're going as a business.
How would you evaluate the other AIs or the artificial intelligences that are out there? How would you rate them for, and you know, fairness and or truly being open, or, you know, how totalitarian are they? Or are they all more or less totalitarian, as Google is attempting to do, putting its ideological thumb?
There is, until there's like a strongly conservative founded and run AI company, you know, I think all of them are malicious to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to look at ChatGPT and OpenAI. Sam Altman actually just removed their long-term risk assessment team from, you know, the company. And so now they have no one saying, hey, how do we make sure that this stays in the box and we're not just opening Pandora's box onto the world? And that's where it becomes concerning, because at the end of the day, almost all of these companies are out of Silicon Valley. We've seen over the last couple of years the culture in Silicon Valley, especially when it comes to, you know, individuals in this country that have differing political ideology. And, you know, they're building these with biases. But at the same time, right, I'm talking about if you're using the AI to get news and information, right? There are still great applications for AI in the business sense. You know, AI is going to be able to help us identify health issues more effectively and earlier, so that we can provide better treatment to individuals. You know, AI is going to be able to help us improve education in this country. I think that at the end of the day, it's still a tool. And what we have to keep in mind is who is wielding that tool.
Who's building the tool? Tool? Because obviously in these amazing tools are built-in biases, as you had mentioned, which is why I've been sort of reticent about getting involved at this point. Am I wrong to, you know, to feel that way, to get in there?
No, but I think that as conservatives, you know, we have to, you know, play our part in contributing to this, in the sense that you should throw a couple of kind of crazy viewpoints into ChatGPT. And when it pushes out a leftist narrative, you say, no, that is the wrong answer. I don't like that answer. Because, yes, I mean, if we withhold our information altogether, you know, this will just go even further and further left.
Hmm.
Right. So we do have to contribute it. But would I use it as a tool to look up information? No, that's where it becomes very concerning, because it'll start generating these leftist bias.
Yeah.
And if that's where you're consuming information instead of providing information, that's where it becomes an issue. And you know, kind of same thing that we saw on TikTok with all of the Columbia and NYU protests. You know, they're kind of using this groupthink, subliminal messaging that, you know, ultimately drove these kids to go out and protest and break laws for issues that they know little about. But, you know, they were pushed the right message at the right time, and they were then activated to pursue an action.
Well, they were pushed the right message, but they were also pushed the right message here, Andrew. By the way, I'm speaking with Andrew Riddell, CEO of Liberation Technology, liberationtech.com. They were pushed the right message, after having stewed for a number of years in that Marxist ideology of oppressor, you know, who's the oppressor and who's the oppressed, right? And so that's the only way they would tend to view the world, because that's pretty much how they've been trained for a lot of their government school world. Would that be a fair assessment, what we're looking at?
Oh, yeah. I think that, you know, the left has been playing this game both overtly, but, you know, before that, more covertly, for over two decades, right? It starts with the education system where, you know, for the most part, we really didn't pay much attention to what was being taught in schools. You know, we've allowed for, you know, the left to indoctrinate in our education, in our courts, in our policies and everything else with little pushback. And, you know, I think only since 2020 have conservatives actually gotten reengaged with the political aspect of our lives. And that is critically important, because we can't just sit idly by hating the direction that this country is going and not doing anything about it, because it is so much more than just, you know, casting your ballot every 2 years. How are you voting with your wallet, and how are you voting with your feet?
And also consider how for the longest time Republicanism was viewed as, let's see, what is the right level of income tax with a corporate thing? You know, they'd focus on that kind of stuff. Meanwhile, the culture was being burned down around them.
Because oftentimes, you know, those issues did not impact our day-to-day lives. Mm-hmm. But the financial side of it sure as heck did. So that's what we were focused on. And you know, if you have kids or you don't have kids, you should still care what's being taught in our schools, because that is the next generation. They are the ones that will take care of us in the future. And so, you know, it's that activism that the left has absolutely mastered. And for the most part, you know, we've kind of sat on the sidelines because it didn't impact us day to day. And we were too busy trying to run businesses and raise a family and everything else. But, you know, it is that activism that is critically important.
What about the two-tier society or two-track society? Do you see us going more in that direction where, okay, the so-called progressives, the Marxists, you know, they're going to stay with their Google, and then, you know, the right's going to have to form its own sort of situation, almost like this bifurcated society sort of thing, in which we're not really going to be able to live with one another in harmony over time. What do you think?
Yeah. Instead of a bifurcated society, I would just call that traditional capitalism, right? We are creating market competition where if you don't agree with the actions and the policies of one company, you know, Liberation stands as an alternative for you to vote with your dollars, right? You can elect to do business with another company. And so it's not a new kind of idea. Granted, you know, there's been a massive amount of consolidation in media and technology and a lot of other industries over the last, you know, 30 years. But now we're kind of seeing that revitalization of the competition and of the capitalistic marketplace.
Hmm. I wanted to bring people's attention. I'm going to link to your Epic Times op-ed piece. You did this about a week ago, 8-9 days ago. It was called "Give Me Liberty or Give Me This Post Has Been Deleted." Right, that's the title of it, right? And tell us what you were thinking about in this. And I think it had to do with religious freedom issues here. And it's a lot more than just your Facebook post being banned. What's the story there?
Yeah, so it is, you know, especially with Gemini and some of these other cross-platform AIs, you know, what we're seeing is a massive suppression of information. Not only is it your social media accounts that are being taken down, but a mutual connection that you and I actually have was sending out emails from her Gmail account and not getting great responses. And I've heard this over the course of this, the last 2 weeks since I got her onto our platforms. Hosts like yourself have reached out to me and they're like, I haven't heard from CJ in 6, 9, 12 months.
Really?
Right? And that's because, you know, not only was her email flagged, but it wasn't even going to the spam box. It was just not reaching its destination, period. And so there's an issue of, you know, these unelected, unrepresentative companies that are really shaping the future of free speech and, you know, the political narrative here in this nation. And, you know, there is no accountability for these companies. And so they get to decide the narrative. And I think that's wrong.
Now, you, in other words, the person I booked you through CJ. CJ's the, you know, pitched me you a few weeks ago when you first, started making the rounds here. And I found you really interesting. So she was mentioning how her email was not getting through to people like me. And I wanted her, and she was a contact in my, you know, in my system.
Yeah.
And so she was being repressed then, is what you're telling me. And so you, the system was just shutting her down, just even emailing me to just say, hey, Andrew would like to talk, right? That kind of thing.
And it was not giving her a notification that it was not delivered. It was leading her to believe that people were receiving it. But in fact, they never received it in the first place.
Interesting.
And so that's where it becomes very dangerous, because Frederick Douglass had a very interesting quote, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he basically said censorship is a double crime. It is a crime to the speaker to suppress his ability to speak, but it's also a crime to the listener because they are unable to hear that speech and make their own informed decisions. And it's that second part that is so critical, you know, the ability for us to think critically and consume information and make our own decisions. Right now, what they're, I think, really trying to do is create a one-sided narrative so that we don't have the ability to make our own informed decisions. And so we kind of just go into this Orwellian society type of mindset where we are just following what we are being told instead of trying to find the truth and come to our own conclusions.
Which they just want us to love our servitude, right? Or enslavement. They want us to love Big Brother, love our enslavement, essentially. Right.
Yeah. But that is what has made this American experiment such a success, I think, overall. It's because, you know, both at the county level and the state level, they can discuss and create different ideas and they can enact different policies. And over time, we can see what policy, what direction is actually best for the greater majority of this nation. And that gives us, the voters, and our local and state representatives, the ability to try new things and to, you know, compare different ideology. And, you know, that all goes away when you lose one side of the narrative.
Indeed. LiberationTech.com. LiberationTech.com is the website. Andrew Riddell, CEO of Liberation Technology. And of course, a great new piece here. Give me liberty or give me this post has been deleted. It's a lot more than just having an occasional Facebook post taken out. What do you think is the final question I have for you, Andrew? What do you think is the best opportunity to have a truly ideologically, if you can't have a conservative AI, how about just an ideologically neutral AI? Who do you think, is there anybody out there that maybe has that kind of capital and that kind of juice to be able to pull that off in the near future?
You know, I'll have to let you know when I find one.
Okay.
Because nothing on the market right now really seems to be going that way. Because at the end of the day, everyone has bias. And gone are the days, I think, where you just run a business to provide a great service and to, you know, better your customers. Right now, everything has to have an agenda and a slant to it. And so until we find that really neutral, middle of the ground, here's just an AI with really no bias in it. You have to proceed with caution.
Okay. Caution duly noted. All right. Andrew, I really appreciate you taking the time doing a little dive on this. And LiberationTech.com. Interesting. I'm glad you're doing the service. And we'll stay in touch. Appreciate it. Take care.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. This is KMED and KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford, KCMD Grants Pass.